What we have here is a quintessential problem. We've got a subject that no one wants to talk about, and a great deal of discomfort to the people. Hello, America. You know I've missed you. And it's weird, you know, I've been hearing about other podcasts. I mean, that's so daunting. It's like the worst part of being an artist is when you hear about people that are already doing stuff that you thought was novel, you know? But I think I'm trying to stake out the soulful territory ultimately, and that's a good way to go. People don't usually do that. So, fucking writer's block, man. You know that like Earl Morris made all those amazing documentaries as a response to writer's block? God, I understand that. I mean, I'm a good writer. I write things sometimes that people read and, critical minds read and think is good, but I can't write. And I had this idea for a long time that I should do an advice column, you know? I actually had this weird experience where I was searching through my email inbox and I found an email from like 2 years ago, and it was like I could have written that email today, you know? And it was like, maybe I should do an advice column. And I was like, oh, great. I just wrote that email 2 years later. Time to get on it. So I can't write, or I'm not a dependable writer. And I got two amazing advice questions. And so I thought, hey, why not? I will just verbally answer them on the air. And since I've been thinking about them for about 6 months, I can probably spit it out pretty succinctly. Okay, the first one, which I don't have written down. Oh, I can't explain to you the catharsis I'm feeling right now, having tried to write this column for so long, and now just to say it, be able to say it and know that it's done. Oh, the release of guilt, the profound release of guilt. The first question is very simple. So it is from, it's nice that we can bleep this out, but I'll call her Celeste, I think, from Celeste. And she says, my old dog won't stay on the porch. That is the question. How do I keep my old dog from running away when I let it out, basically? So here's what I got. So I took this really amazing course in world politics from a master in the subject. And she said when she was explaining world politics, she liked to lay down a vicious gauntlet of Hobbesian realism and then poke holes in that gauntlet. And so I think that's probably the most appropriate way to answer the dog question after, you know, 6 months of thinking about it. So in terms of hardcore Hobbesian realism, when it comes to dog, right, it's all about food. It's all about food. I mean, it's kind of a dark, dark joke on humanity that people talk about their pets and, you know, my dog loves me because of who I am kind of thing. And doesn't your dog just love you because you give it food? Oh God, I know. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to say that, but I think I try to be honest. You know, when you're trying to figure out why is there violence in Africa, this is where you have to start, you know. Are humans good? Do dogs really love us? Or is it just the thing that gives them food? I mean, how much would you love the thing that gave you food? It depends on, you know, your survival depends on it. So maybe the way to get the dog to stay on the porch is to mess with the food equation, right? I don't know. Don't feed the dog before you let it go. Maybe there's something in there in the food thing. So that's part one to my response. And I would say that part of it is pretty true. You know, that qualifies as pretty true. So the next part, though, I think is just kind of true, but I can't really let it go. The thing is, I don't really believe that hardcore Hobbesian realism because when I meet a dog, I have this firm instinct that they have distinct personalities, you know? Like, all dogs are not the same. If I see two Labradors, they don't seem identical. One likes to lay on your feet more. The other one has an insane fetching obsession, you know? That's how they are. My mom has Labradors Labradors. Who knew that was the same thing? Anyway, she was like, you're really going to love my new dog, because the last one was kind of poorly behaved. And the first night I was sleeping on a couch, it was a family thing, and that dog took a dump right by where I was sleeping on the couch. And so I like woke up in the air with the wafting. I was just like, it smells like profoundly, like I had dreams about rivers of shit. Yes, I love this new dog. Anyways, but I do love dogs, or I become attached to them. I think it's ludicrous to not love animals, you know? Eating them is another subject, but how can you hate something that, how can you hate an animal? That's just bizarre to me. And so, hey, maybe your dog won't stay on the porch because that's just the kind of dog that it is, you know? Maybe this is about acceptance and you just have to accept this individual thing for who it is, just like we would all want to be accepted. Okay, but then the third response, which is, let's see, I did pretty true and I did sort of true. I think this one would qualify as rather f***ing true. It's my favorite one, of course, is that your dog develops in relationship to you. You actually imprint your dog, you know, and your dog is you and you are your dog. So maybe the question is, why don't you want to stay on the porch, Celeste? If you find the answer to that, your dog will stick around. Okay, all right, there you go. Round one of advice. Now this next, it's pun intended, I think is gonna blow your mind. I'll have to read it. It was such an amazing question. It's controversial. It's filthy. I'd tell you to hide your kids, but actually I think you want to get in touch with your inner child for this one because it's immature and amazing. All right. Dear Dave, going poop at work is always a pain. I don't have any real problem pooping 2 to 5 feet from a stranger or colleague, but it's something I would rather avoid if possible. There are so many complications, ethical considerations, and etiquette items to deal with. In our former office, we were blessed with private bathrooms, but those days are gone. Now it is a 2-stall bathroom. First off, the entrance is tough, since I would prefer to go into the stall alone with no one in the bathroom. Timing is important. I try to wait or feel out when the bathroom will be empty. Sometimes there is someone in one of the stalls. Obviously, rule number one is not to poop next to someone who is already pooping. Right? Do a fake pee, go away, and come back later. The real problem is when someone is just coming out of a stall or is washing their hands. What to do? They already know who you are. Do you just say hey and walk out? Or do you just go right in? Are you staying with me? It's so complicated. The next problem is when you actually get into the stall. I typically poop in waves. It may take about 5 to 10 minutes before I get out. Inevitably, someone is going to come in while you're pooping. What to do? When someone is in the bathroom while I am pooping, I do not drop or wipe. Is that my best practice? God, how am I going to keep all this straight? This can get tedious or confusing sometimes. Multiple people are coming and going, and it's hard to know when someone is actually in the bathroom with you. Sometimes you're just about to wipe and someone comes in. Is my best practice just to wait it out? The worst is when I'm already in the stall and some asshole comes into the stall right next to me and starts pooping. What do I do in that situation? I usually just get the hell out of there no matter what the state of my butthole. What is your best advice to me? How can I have a good experience taking a crap at work? Best stalled out. Yeah, that was real, okay? I did not make that up. If for some reason we ever make up advice around here on the Dave Good Show, you will know, and that is authentic. And it's so complicated and deep, and it's one of those things that I can't totally respond to. I'll do what I always do in this situation and just respond with a story. Okay, so I can say without a doubt that almost no boys who went to Ames High School ever pooped at school. All right, we never did. And here's why. At some point in the 80s or whatever, people were smoking in the boys' room. And they took out to stop the kids from smoking. I mean, I believe that's what it was. Oh, smoking, my old nemesis, smoking. They took the doors off the stalls, right? So there were no stall doors. In fact, there was even one toilet in one bathroom that just had no stall at all. It was just a free sitting toilet. It was the cleanest and most pristine toilet you've ever seen. Never been used, right? And so all of us just trained ourselves to poop in the morning and poop after 3, and there was no pooping at school, you know? God. So anyways, I know there was a discovery when I was like 16 or 17. I found out that by the basketball court, there was a bathroom that was there for the general public. And of course, no one in the general public would ever poop without a stall door. And so they had them there. And I knew secretly that if I had a free period, there was a respite. And it was a freeing experience, to say the least, right? But of course, what we have here is a quintessential problem. We've got a subject that no one wants to talk about and a great deal of discomfort to the people. So I had this friend, right? A highly accomplished fellow. You know, straight A's, all-star athlete, all that stuff. And he decided to do what a lot of straight A all-star athletes decide to do. Also a play director, Renaissance man. And he decided to run for student council president, right? And what do you think his number one subject was? He stood up for all of us. And he gave the funniest fucking school speech, probably in the history of school speeches. And there was no lie, there was just straight honesty. Who's going to poop in the pristine toilet without any door, you know? He was like, I bet that thing hasn't been used since the Johnson administration. Which those of us in honors history thought was quite funny. So anyways, he ran on this issue and he was elected. And he went on to be a highly successful person. So, as we all know, knowledge is power. Stalled out is what you wanted to be called. And you know the truth, which is that honestly, men and people in general can be really kind of messed with in terms of bathroom privacy, you know, but especially men. God, don't get me started about peeing in a trough. Have you seen the trough? You like walk in, there's just a bathtub and a bunch of like giant old man penises on either side of you, you know, and you're supposed to like be relaxed enough to take a pee. I remember these moments from my childhood. It's like getting molested. So you have knowledge. And the thing is, one of the reasons I don't work in a corporate structure is because I'm not that particularly good at keeping my mouth shut. And that's a key skill you have to advance in the corporate world, is you have to be able to keep your mouth shut and sit on this information, my friend. Wait for it. And at some point, it will be time to strike. They'll be redesigning the office something, and you can muster your courage and talk about the importance of a private and helpful pooping experience, not to mention the kind of food I'm sure everyone is eating in that office, which is just going to complicate the pooping even further. So I told you that story just because I want you to believe you're a leader, man. You discovered something that needs to be fixed, and it's a simple fix, and it's something that if it was analyzed, much like racial prejudice, you would realize that it's ludicrous. So I don't know what to say, man. God bless you and your struggle. Yeah, I mean, that's what I got. That's something I like to do that's funny to f*** with hipsters, is to say God bless to them when you leave. They never see that one coming. And then they can give you a nasty face and you can be like, what, I can't come to this party and drink PBR with you if I believe in God? Is this the Soviet Union? You know it works. And of course, I don't need to get into God. I've just gotten into pooping, and that is a big enough subject for today. So I hope you like the podcast, and by all means, give me some questions. I'll come from the heart.
You've been listening to The Dave Good Show.